On May 21st, 2014, Marvin Winstead got something that changed his life.
I'm sitting here minding my own business, and one day a letter shows up in the mail from a company telling me that my property is identified as being in the corridor of a proposed natural gas pipeline.
He did not receive the news well.
It was infuriating. It's saying, and their letter goes to tell what a big company. They were trying, as far as I was concerned, through their letter, trying to intimidate. We're a great big company. We've got the biggest this and the biggest that, and we're worth so many billions. We're the big corporate bully, and you're the little guy that we're going to push around. That's how it made me feel.
With the pipeline tunneling his property, he is concerned about the impact it will have on his crops and the general safety of his community.
If there is ever a leakage problem with that pipeline, if there is ever an explosion, those people will be, the potential is their home will be blown away. If they're home, they'll be blown away with it.
Winstead helped organize a 3-county walk in November to oppose the project and included about 40 people. Now he and about 50 to 60 people are about to embark on a longer trek, 200 miles along the entire length of the pipeline in North Carolina, organized by Walk to Protect Our People and the Places We Live, or APPLE. The journey began Saturday, March 4th.
It will originate at the state line as the pipeline crosses from Virginia into North Carolina. And over a course of 2 weeks, they will be literally walking in very close proximity. It's not always possible to walk right on top of where the pipeline will go, but where roads are parallel with the pipeline, proposed pipeline, they will be walking those roads from the beginning point at the Virginia line to the termination point in Pembroke.
The Atlantic Coast Pipeline has garnered a great deal of economic and political support from the White House and Capitol Hill. It's among President Trump's highest infrastructure priorities, and a letter of support for the pipeline was signed by North Carolina's 2 senators and 4 congressional representatives. There's also the prospect of developing a stronger economic infrastructure through the pipeline's presence. Several economic development organizations have thrown their support behind the project for that reason, including North Carolina's Southeast, led by its president, Steve Yost.
Energy is one of the largest cost components of business development and job creation. And right now, cost of energy, cost of natural gas, is a competitive advantage for the United States, and thus it's a competitive advantage for us.
He said the region has missed out on opportunities to host factories with skilled labor jobs at higher wages because the only pipeline in the state is more than 100 miles away, west of Charlotte. He cited a particular instance about a year and a half ago, though he said he couldn't disclose the name of the other parties involved.
Had they come here, had they been able to get that level of gas service, they would have invested several $100 million in this region and would have created probably in excess of 200 jobs.
Those prospects took another step toward realization on December 30th, 2016, when it hit a major milestone by getting the green light from the Federal Energy Regulatory Committee, or FERC.
We got the draft environmental impact statement from the government.
Tammy McGee is a spokesperson for Duke Energy.
Just recently, within the past couple of weeks, the Federal Regulatory Agency out of D.C. came and held public comment sessions in several counties along the pipeline's route. So the public could come in and give their comments and respond to the environmental draft.
McGee said environmental studies were exhaustive, citing thousands of pages worth of study reviewed by government officials. Like many pipeline advocates, she says it's the best way to transport the company's product since they are more direct.
Pipelines are safer than highway, rail, or waterborne transport for natural gas.
Pipeline opponents like Steve Norris remain unmoved.
I think it is a catastrophe. It's a proposed catastrophe. Of course, they haven't built it yet, and if we have our way, then it's never going to get built.
Norris lives in Asheville, but is a member of APPLE and has been working with local organizers like Winstead in putting the walk together. He said his main motivator in opposing the pipeline is the long-term impact it could have on the environment. In their synopsis of the report, FERC mentioned there would be, quote, temporary and permanent impacts on the environment and would also result in some adverse effects, singling out wetlands and other bodies of water. If the pipeline is built, the natural gas will be extracted from West Virginia shale in a process called fracking, a controversial method that releases methane into the atmosphere through extraction and use. Methane is the second most common greenhouse gas emitted into the atmosphere, according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
If The accumulation of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere keeps continuing at the pace it's going right now. And if we don't do something about that, then the frequency of storms like Hurricane Matthew, of wildfires like those that burned 70,000 acres in western North Carolina and east Tennessee in the fall, you know, the frequency of those is going to increase.
Norris says he's skeptical about the project's economic prospects as well. The $5 billion pipeline is expected to directly create less than 60 permanent jobs. He's also wondering where the estimated 1.5 billion cubic feet of natural gas per day will ultimately end up if the pipeline is completed, especially since natural gas prices dropped 20% in 2 weeks last autumn.
Right now, gas is actually so cheap that it's, for the most part, not profitable. And therefore, the thing that the gas companies, what they want to do is export this stuff.
But pipeline advocates say that doesn't account for the economic ripple effect it stands to create. A fact sheet from the pipeline's website states if the project does go through, it will benefit the Tar Heel state to the tune of $69 million and 5,351 new jobs.
And then there's those who are going to be subcontractors and vendors. There will be a lot of laborers working in North Carolina, so you'll see also a trickle-down effect in restaurants and hotels and gas stations and other retail stores and businesses.
If the pipeline becomes a reality, the main benefit could be its impact on one of the state's most economically depressed areas. The eight counties directly impacted by the pipeline, Cumberland, Halifax, Johnston, Nash, Northampton, Robeson, Sampson, and Wilson, have a combined unemployment rate 1.5% above the statewide average. Steve Yost says the pipeline could help send more eastern North Carolinians to work.
If we can help create and bring in the quality skilled-level jobs that pay good wages, then that's going to help spur the growth in other types of jobs or the growth of small business or entrepreneurs and all of that. And that's typically what a manufacturing operation will do.
Opponents say that might not be good enough, considering the ecological and social prospects of the pipeline. In February, the left-leaning NC Policy Watch released a report highlighting the demographics of the counties impacted by the pipeline. All of them have racial minority populations above and or average salaries below the state average. Winstead and Norris also contend the pipeline was originally going to run farther west, along the wider and more affluent counties in the Triangle. If that is true, it would be similar to what happened with the Dakota Access Pipeline during its planning stages. Norris sent us a map showing the apparent original path dated May 2015.
That pipeline was originally going to run near Bismarck, North Dakota. And the first thing the city of Bismarck says, oh, no, that might endanger our water supply. So what do? They move downriver a little bit where the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation is, and they're going to endanger their water. You know, so they have left a large populated area and move to where there's a minority group of people, and they're going to bully them around.
When asked about the path, McGee said she couldn't confirm or deny that it was ever part of the pipeline's plan. She said modifications have been made throughout the process, a normal aspect of most infrastructure projects. Construction is set to begin later this year, pending final permit approval from the government, with completion in 2019. I'm Chris Thomas.